The question today is, what is the doctrine of tulip? And really, this is the third part on this particular question. We've looked at the names, and we got to part of the word tulip, T-U-L-I-P. We talked about total depravity yesterday. We talked about the unconditional election, and we were on limited atonement. And as we was trying to get into it, our time ran out, so we'll try to pick up there if we can, realizing that Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary was capable of saving every man. And therefore, he said that in 1 John chapter 2, that it's the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. And that means it was capable. Now, I know in the foreknowledge of God, God knew exactly who was going to be saved. And he knew all about the end. And so as a result, in one sense, Jesus did his death on the cross, his atonement on the cross, only pays for the sin of those who are going to be saved. But yet that's foreknowledge. You can't leave that out. Now, it would be something for Jesus to pay for it on Calvary, and then us have to pay for it in hell. Not that way. Now, that has to be carried out in actuality. Just as I said yesterday, that Jesus died, he came to destroy the works of the devil, but yet the devil's still alive on the earth. And so as a result, he's still moving. That's carrying out, but it'll be done just exactly like God knows it's going to happen. It's guaranteed to come to pass that way. And it will happen just exactly like God has already written down in the book. But yet, in a sense, in actuality, just like I met a man some years ago and I asked him if he was saved. He said he was. I said, when was you saved? He said, 2 o'clock one afternoon 2,000 years ago. It shocked me. I didn't know what he was talking about at first, but then I realized what he was saying. I said, yes, Jesus died for your sins that day, but when was the blood applied? You see, the blood has to be applied. And that takes a work of Holy Ghost conviction, what's called the sanctification work of the Spirit, that must be there. And so when this is carried out in actuality, the work of God in the sense of the atonement, if you come God's way and you walk in light and you come through repentance and faith that's been granted you, you'll obey the gospel by repenting and believing. And I'll tell you at that point, in a sense, and there is an actuality where your sins was nailed to Jesus' account. God already knew that and paid for them on Calvary. And then his righteousness is placed on your account. Yes, God already knew that. I understand that and could write the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. But yet the Lamb's Book of Life is going to be at the great white throne judgment to show where your name could have been. It was in there and it got blotted out because you rejected light somewhere after you reached the knowledge of accountability. Didn't say any, many, mighty, more. You're not, in other words, God's not going to have to take second fiddle or whatever you want to say. When you make your justification, he's going to show you in the book of remembrance. He's going to show you in the word of God what light you rejected and when you rejected that. And right here is where your name was blotted out. There's an empty place where your name could have been. Oh, thank God for that. Amen. And that's why I cannot follow this Calvinistic doctrine that goes to the extreme and gets in the ditch of the doctrine of the tulip. I cannot do that. I've got to stay in the middle of the road. And as I've said before, many who come and have changed and gotten in the ditch of this fatalism of Calvinistic doctrine, they were saved under error for easy believism, they say. And yet there's no salvation in that. There was no work of God. There was no repentance. There was no faith. And even some of these people who write these books, they say that when you're what I would call an awakening, they call that being born again. They call that being regenerated. And that comes before repentance and faith. Not so. Repentance comes before faith, but they're coupled together. And when you repent and believe, and you only do that because God grants you repentance and faith is given to you from the Lord. He gives you because he speaks it to you. And then you obey the gospel by repenting and believing, and that is at the point of the straight gate. That is the point when you're saved. That is the point where you have life. That is the point where you're born again. Oh, we're in error in these things over and over. We get people are trying to develop something that will fit what they have or don't have and think maybe, just maybe, I'll be accepted in the end. But God says, Paul said, my gospel came. Our gospel came not in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance, a time and a place. If you don't have that, you're in trouble. If you're expecting to get to heaven by a doctrine of TULIP, then you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're not one of the elect, because you've got to have a time and a place where a work of God's been done in your heart. So I understand you let me define the limited atonement. I could agree with that. And because you see, you pay for your own sin and it'll not be double paid for. But it was capable. His blood was capable of saving every man born on the face of God's earth. Every man. And in other words, but yet it'll not be double paid. So God in foreknowledge knew, he paid it on Calvary. And in actuality, when it's carried out, when the work's done, then his righteousness is placed on your account. And your sins is placed on his account and charged there in Calvary. Well, that may not agree with your philosophy and your thinking, but this is as close as I know how to get to it, to where you can find it. And at least you'll be responsible for the truth. You'll be responsible for that. And then there's what's called the irresistible grace. Now, I really don't understand where they get this and understand that. I do believe that when God begins to do a work in your heart, you'll come to a place that you don't want to resist the Holy Ghost of God. You won't want to resist him, but you realize, and they use the word where he said he's drawn, the Lord must, unless he draws you, and they use the word draw, mean to drag. I won't tell you, you're not going to be drug in. I mean, you're going to be, your heart's going to be changed. God's going to put something inside you where you desire him. And it's not, you don't want to resist the grace of God that comes, because he said, I'll draw you with cords of love. Oh, you see, it's the cords of a man. It's like putting a piece of meat on a stick and giving it to a dog. You can make a dog come to you whether he wanted to come to you or not, for the meat on the stick. And he puts love. He uses human instrumentality to love you where you are and to draw you. But I want to tell you, you do resist the grace of God. Every one of us has resisted the grace of God at some point in time. Bible says this in the book of Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was there preaching to that group that day, he told that Pharisee bunch, and I know they was lost, I understand that, but he said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers do, so do you. And all of their fathers hadn't resisted as far as salvation was concerned. Abraham was one of them there, Jacob was one of them, but there was a time they resisted, and you resist the grace of God. So therefore, this thing of irresistible grace, God's chosen you any, many, mighty, more, and I'm going to drag you in whether you want to go or not. That's not so. That's not the scriptural doctrine by the Word of God. But then he talks about the perseverance of the saints. Now that's, I understand that. I don't have any problem with that. God's saints will persevere. Somebody says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Yes, and the only thing's going to make you endure is to have a work of God done in your heart. The Holy Ghost of God, who's bigger than, greater in you than he in the world, that help you overcome whatever you face, whatever the problems might be. And so therefore, you will persevere. You will continue. And Bible says it. And by the way, you'll not continue just 2 weeks or 10 years or a few days like some people who make professions. You'll continue. Doesn't mean you'll be perfect, but listen, one who continue is one when he sins, he'll ask forgiveness. He'll repent again and again and again, because he's had repentance and the point of salvation, and he'll keep on keeping on in that sense. Now, how many times does God forgive sin? Peter asked that, didn't he? And he said, Lord, 7 times? That sounds like a whole lot to me. No, he didn't say it that way, but that's what he was meaning. And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7, which shows an unlimited number. If we genuinely repent, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He restoreth my soul, the psalmist said. He puts us back in the clean condition before God. That doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation. No, no, but you'll do that. That's part of continuing. And he said, you'll do that unto the end. That's perseverance of the saints. That means that you're going to go through, not because of you, but because of him. That's like security of the believer, if you please. Because you see, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. John 10:27. And they follow me. Oh, listen, these people are not following the voice of the Lord. And it's the voice of the Lord, by the way. It's not just some word. It's not just some preacher's word. It's what he's riveted in our hearts of the Word of God that's become real to our hearts. Then if we follow that, then we are in his hand, he said. We I give unto thee eternal life. In case you don't understand what that means, you'll never perish. These people believe you can fall from grace. That's the Arminian view. That's just a ditch on the other side of the road. And you say, well, I got saved in that. I want to tell you why. Why didn't the Holy Ghost guide you into all truth and get you out before 10 or 15 years? How come you came to this doctrine of hyper-Calvinism and ditchism, if you please, and say you're saved back over there in that place? I want to tell you what, God won't let you stay in that place if you're saved. You can't even be saved unless you call on Him in truth. He's nigh unto all them that call on Him in truth. That means He's probably not nigh to them who don't call in truth. It's a dangerous thing, you see. So therefore, I don't want to follow all of these, but I do believe in the perseverance of the saints. So if you let me define the doctrine of TULIP, then I can say, hey, I can understand that. I can produce. I do have a problem with the unconditional election, but if you use unmerited election, all of grace, hey, I don't have any problem with that. But why follow some doctrine of man? If you want to follow some kind of flower, why not follow roses and have a bouquet of them? Roses, and that we could coin this phrase, and I know this is still an acrostic, but roses is repentance with responsibility. Man has a responsibility. Roses, R-O, O is omniscience and omnipotence of God. He's sovereign and He's omniscient, has foreknowledge of God involved there. And S is the sanctification of the Spirit. It takes that work complete in all three areas of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And then we have the E on roses, is the enabling grace. Oh, that's good. That's good. That'll come bring you to a place to where you don't want to resist the grace, but it's because He enabled you. Every light He gives you, every truth He gives you, every exhortation He gives you grace and enables you to respond to that. And if you fail to do that, you'll not advance. Even what light you have will become darkness, and God will blow back the hedge and turn you over to reprobate mind. Vile affection and uncleanness, what a sad place to be. But there's enabling grace. So, and then the S, of course, is the security of the believer. That's once saved, always saved. But yet these Baptists that preach this and live like the devil, I don't blame people for not believing it. You're not saved if you do, because He said He predestinated everyone in Christ to be conformed to the image of His Son. He's going to clean you up. He's going to work on you. He's going to chastise you. And if you don't respond to His wooing and His drawing and His working in your life as a child of God, if you really is, He'll kill you and take you to heaven so as by fire. Be a sin unto death. He won't let you live a long, unfruitful, unproductive life of His. That's security of the believer. So this crowd that lives like the devil and does what they want to and goes where they want to and don't go to church and don't pay their tithe, they're not saved. They're not saved according to the Word of God. I don't care what doctrine they claim to. And be like the crowd that believes in this doctrine of the tulip. Hope that I'm one of the elect in the end. If that's all you've got, you're not saved. Because there's got to be a time and a place where the sanctification work of the Spirit's done. Repentance was granted you and faith was granted you so that you can obey the gospel by repenting and believing. And the gospel came to you in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. That'll give you something to where you can hang your hat on. That's roses. Repentance with responsibility. Omniscience and omnipotence of God. S, sanctification of the Spirit. E, enabling grace. And S, security of the believer. Thank God for the true Bible doctrine. That's what we need to follow. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.